WVW Broadcast Network and The New American are pleased to present The New American TV with your host, Rebecca Terrell. This broadcast is committed to helping you understand the truth behind the news. And now, here's your host, Rebecca Terrell.
Welcome to The New American TV, where we bring you the truth behind the news. Today is Friday, February 10th, and here are some of the headlines we're following. Yesterday, SpaceX executives declared that they are limiting use of the Starlink satellite services by the Ukrainian military in their fight against Russia. This was made public yesterday by the president of SpaceX, Gwynne Shotwell. War hawk Adam Kinzinger is unhappy about this development, even making lightly veiled threats to end the government's relationship with Musk's owned platforms. Why did Musk and SpaceX make this move? Gwynne Shotwell, the president of SpaceX, avoided details, simply stating it was not the intention of Starlink that their technology be weaponized. Additionally, Ms. Shotwell and SpaceX have declared themselves aware of news reports about Starlink being used in Ukraine in conjunction with drones. Perhaps these are the drones that Ms. Shotwell is referring to. This unconfirmed video is reported to show Ukrainians dropping canisters of nerve agents from high-tech internet-powered drones. Other videos appear to show the Shaman unit of the Ukrainian armed forces creating illegal munitions, which apparently need to be refrigerated.
Bada boom, jaga jaga!
Це все полетить на ваші хворі бошки, підари.
Почніше дай!
Готуйтеся, хробачня!
Але в бойових умовах буде застосовуватися по ворогу в альтернативу тим вогневим засобам, які у нас наразі є, разом до перемоги.
So, was it just the use of Starlink in an offensive capacity that alarmed SpaceX executives? That seems doubtful. In March of 2022, a report in the New York Post revealed that Elon Musk's Starlink satellites were helping Ukrainians destroy Russian tanks. The report detailed the use of grenade-strapped drones, information that seems not to have caused alarm at SpaceX. Given the long documented use of Starlink as serving Ukrainian offensive capabilities and even in use in drones, it seems clear something changed. Maybe Starlink and Elon Musk changed course when it became clear that those drones are being used to administer chemical weapons. In other words, war crimes. We bring on Daniel Natale of The New American to discuss this development. Welcome to the program, Daniel.
Hey, Rebecca. How are you doing? An important point that should be made to the viewers is that historically, whoever controlled the seas was the empire, right? So, Britannia rules the sea, you know, their famous song. And the United States, after World War II, basically took on that role of the naval trade lanes. That is supreme power in terms of historical empire. Admiral Stavridis wrote a great book on naval power and empire and how that works. Well, now the satellite systems are the new naval trade lanes. Whoever controls space is going to be the dominant power emerging in the 21st century. And we're seeing kind of the earliest examples of this in this Elon Musk story, where he is a Pentagon contractor. He's making lots of money from the government, but he's afraid of exposure in world criminal courts. And so he said back in October, if the Pentagon wants to fund the Ukraine, you know, vis-a-vis their Starlink program, that the Pentagon has to do it. Elon Musk refused to be a participant in this because it exposes him to ethical, moral, and legal jeopardy. So,
right, but I think that there's a difference. The analogy you drew with the seas back in the day, there was a military aspect to conquering the seas, and there was also an economic aspect because there's a lot of money to be made out there, you know, roaming the high seas and finding the new world and what have you. Use that as a comparison to space. I don't see any.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, for instance, we've shifted from a product-based economy to an information-based economy like Google or all these information kind of model business models make far more money than widgets or Snickers bars or sneakers. And so as we become more digital and more data-based, the transmissions of those, you know, kind of data-based models are going to rely increasingly on satellites. And so that's the economic aspect. Elon Musk is also working on energy projection from space, like having solar panels out in space, and they can basically beam electricity to villages in Africa that don't have the capacity to do it. And right now there's kind of like, you know, line of sight issues, you know, regarding like, you know, terrestrial, you know, obstructions and stuff that will be obviated if you're generating it from space. So we're talking about, you know, economics like Amazon.com. We're talking about, you know, business cloud transmissions. We're talking about energy transmission. We're talking about like if you go to try to open your bank account or access money from your bank, that's going to be digital. And that will be controlled through the satellites. So the way that empires controlled money through the naval trade lanes historically was through tariffs. You know, so every time somebody came and you know, dropped off a shipment of coffee or of cocoa, that the, you know, the warlord basically got a cut. So it was to his benefit to keep those trade lanes open, as it was very lucrative. Well, now those trade lanes are being shifted to space. And so Elon Musk, he's on the cutting edge of that. The Chinese are getting into this, the Japanese, a bunch of different countries. The EU is trying to put up a couple of their own. But Elon Musk, you know, is extremely dominant. So this is an interesting, you know, kind of situation, you know, where now you see the corporate sector and government. And we've been historically told that fascism, Giovanni Gentile said that, you know, fascism is the merger of corporate and state power. And so right. We're watching more and more public-private partnerships, which is corporate and state power. And so you're seeing Elon Musk representing the corporations and the Pentagon representing state power. And now people are getting nervous.
Right. That with good reason. All right. Well, forging right ahead in our headlines, is the future of Project Veritas in jeopardy? Its founder, James O'Keefe, has been placed on leave and stripped of his duties. The New York Magazine went public with details claiming that O'Keefe's potential ouster is set to be discussed today, February 10th. Since being founded in 2011 by James O'Keefe, the unique reporting agency uses unusual tactics to create explosive investigations. Project Veritas found their biggest success yet when an undercover reporter captured a Pfizer employee describing gain-of-function-esque experiments being conducted by the pharmaceutical giant. A Project Veritas insider has gone public with his take, claiming that the premise of the internal attack on O'Keefe is meritless, and describing the proceedings as a Stalinesque kangaroo court trial. This week, the Brookings Institution crowned the so-called number one spreader of misinformation, and the award goes to Steve Bannon and the War Room podcast.
Let them call you racist.
Laissez vous appeler raciste.
Let them call you xenophobes.
Mais laissez vous appeler xénophobes.
Let them call you nativist.
Laissez vous les appeler nativistes.
Wear it as a badge of honor.
The sprawling report by a former House researcher from the Council on Foreign Relations doesn't just focus on Bannon's wildly successful Daily Show, but looks with alarm at the podcast ecosystem more generally. Blowing the whistle on shows that trade in the lawful but awful, the report encourages regulators, policymakers, and other government officials to help improve the podcast ecosystem. Among the lawful but awful examples of misinformation that the author highlights is favorable reference to hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in treating COVID-19. Interestingly, since the pandemic began, a body of evidence has been accumulated that suggests that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are promising treatments for COVID-19, while the vaunted mRNA vaccines appear increasingly to be the subject of controversy, with 7% of respondents to a Rasmussen poll declaring that they experienced major side effects from the vaccine. This opens up the more fundamental question: if misinformation is sometimes accurate, what exactly is misinformation? I think the answer is clear. Misinformation is whatever elite establishments like the Brookings Institution want it to be. While we're on the topic, yesterday the Brookings Institution held a panel titled Understanding the Threat of White Christian Nationalism to American Democracy.
White Christian nationalism is the greatest threat to democracy and the witness of the church in the United States today. These data back it up. I define Christian nationalism as an ethno-cultural ideology that uses Christian symbolism to create a permission structure for the acquisition of political power and social control.
Daniel, any thoughts on the Brookings Institution and how do they fit more generally into the constellation of think tanks, foundations, and NGOs?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're watching, you know, this bizarre narrative that doesn't make any sense, where on the one hand, they always invoke the word democracy, 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 the biggest threat to democracy. But then on the other hand, they're like, we hate populism and the populism of Donald Trump. And it's like, okay, well, what is populism? Okay, that's rule by the majority. What is democracy? That's rule by the majority. So it's like, you know, this kind of schizophrenic messaging from the left is bizarre. And as for the Brookings Institute and all these other kind of think tanks that go toward, you know, kind of, they're basically trying to be, you know, managers of power. And, you know, kind of like in the medieval time periods, you know, the king would have his court and the court would serve the king, you know. And so these people see themselves as basically hirelings to basically, you know, kind of help steward the current power structure and the status quo. And anything that's a threat to that, you know, is labeled as misinformation or racism or a threat to democracy. Interestingly, there's a push by something called the 1792 Exchange, which is a new initiative to counteract kind of the ESG thing and the woke liberalism, woke capitalism that is overtaking, you know, the society. And that's actually, we need to start doing that, you know, more. We need to see pushback. We need to see people kind of identifying, you know, the perpetrators of a lot of this stuff. So, you know, that's one good thing emerging. So.
Absolutely. Well, on in further headlines, an internal document from the FBI leaked this week showing that the FBI's field office in Richmond is considering infiltrating Roman Catholic groups that prefer the Latin Mass. A whistleblower, Kyle Serafin, leaked the document and last night went on Tucker Carlson to discuss the leak.
It's hard to believe this is even real. This is one of those. What was your reaction when you saw this?
Well, my reaction is predictable. I mean, I'm a Catholic, number one, and I think it's appalling. It's one of those things that when the government has gotten to the point where you talked about our Second Amendment rights, and those defend our First Amendment rights to practice our religion, particularly the way that we want to. I'm friends with people who love the Latin Mass. I grew up in a traditional school where I actually learned Latin in fifth and sixth grade and all the way through high school. And it doesn't seem reasonable, but it is the state of the FBI at this point that they are so desperate to find white supremacists that they're going to look at the Catholic Church.
So, Daniel, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, just to get back on that, basically what they're against is people perpetuating their culture into posterity, because we're in a revolutionary time period right now where they're tearing down statues, they're banning classical books, they're stigmatizing Shakespeare and Aristotle. And, you know, this is what you do when you have a cultural revolution like China in 1968. And so they're looking at traditionalists as the big enemy of revolution. We are counter-revolutionary, you know. For instance, I went to the Latin Mass and found it extremely beautiful. And I like seeing that connection from the present into the past. There's that famous maxim, you know, a tree cut off from its roots dies. And that's basically what the FBI has been tasked with doing, cutting the tree off from its roots.
Right. Well, and the main sin these days is, of course, Christianity. So I see that as the target here, too. We are out of time for this section. Daniel, thank you so much for your time. And we will see you back on the other side of the break.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, Welcome to the singularity. She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it. But her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame, the new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP. ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of the New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code N20, END20.
I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. I mean, whoa. Who knows what would come out of that?
It isn't the Constitution that's the problem. It is the people who ignore the Constitution.
What we need are just more people that would read the one we have.
It's up to us to hold our elected officials accountable.
Who understand the Constitution and are willing to take a stand when necessary.
If Americans want to remain a free and sovereign nation, more people need to understand the principles and values that built this great nation. At the John Birch Society, we have the organization, the plan, and the resources to do just that. Our founder, Robert Welch, said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Go to jbs.org to learn more, including how you can get involved to work locally and impact nationally. Join the John Birch Society today.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The truth is hard to find, but the New American has it. Check it out at thenewamerican.com.
Hi, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm the host of IMTV's daily talk show about news and events in America. And I want to say a good word for the New American Magazine. Not only because Alex Newman has joined us as somebody who is periodically hosting a show, but because New American Magazine represents an alternative media that is willing to tell people the truth. With so much fake news spreading about, and the fact that right now this country's in an existential crisis, we remember who we are and where we come from and what our principles are, or we die. Reading New American Magazine can keep you up to the minute on the issues that are challenging us as a people and on which that survival hangs. You can check it out and subscribe at www.thenewamerican.com.
Welcome back to the New American TV, where we bring you the truth behind the news. The COVID debacle with its lockdowns and jabs has wrought havoc on our lives, our culture, and our economy. But there's an old saying that it's an ill wind that blows no good. One of the silver linings to the COVID cloud, for instance, has been the fact that people are waking up, red pilling is the popular term, to deep state plans to rob us of our freedoms. Another boon has been the explosion of homeschooling in America. It's a phenomenon, the importance of which is not lost on my next guest. Dr. Duke Pesta is a veteran educator at all levels, as well as an accomplished author and speaker. He is the administrator of the online homeschooling organization Freedom Project Academy. Dr. Pesta, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Tell us first a little bit about Freedom Project Academy and how the homeschool revolution has affected your enrollment.
Well, we are an option, right, for moms and dads. The main thing is to get moms and dads out of the public schools. They are unredeemable. They are perpetually unchangeable, right? You're going to have to burn it down and start over. So we are one option. So we have for moms and dads who want to homeschool but don't think that they can do it, or they don't really want to do it, but they like the concept, we have live teachers coming into your classroom, into your living room through technology. We have a setup where kids have classmates. They can talk to the teacher can talk back to them. We do the entire curriculum, or we can do one or two classes for them. We are classical education. We are based in Judeo-Christian values. So it's exactly the kind of thing you would want for your kids if you were going to pull them out, and we can bring it to you right in your living room. That's one option. There are a lot of others as well for homeschool families.
Right, exactly. And explain, too, that aspect of the society that kids get among themselves and with their teacher, because I think that that's one hindrance some parents have. They say, I don't want my kid to be antisocial. And this is very much a social organization.
Well, let me tell you, as a university professor, by the way, I've heard this time and time again, that homeschool kids are
asocial or antisocial. It's nonsense. These are the kids, the homeschool kids, when they come to me in college, they're the ones that show up for class. They're the ones that say please and thank you. They say Dr. Pester. Or they're very respectful. They're hardworking students. What the progressive left means by that, because that's what the progressive left says, they mean that your kids don't have green hair. They're not pierced all over. They don't get drunk all the time. So first of all, that's a myth. But even if you are concerned as a mom and dad about that, Freedom Project is interesting in the sense that your kid will have classmates, and they can talk to each other. We have families at Freedom Project over the summer vacation who will drive to places just to meet up with some of the classmates of their children so they all can get to know each other. So there's a lot of conversation back and forth. We have teachers talking to kids and to parents. And one of the things I really love about our program, not only is it very social in that way, but our teachers are communicating with parents as well as the kids. Everything that happens in our school, the live school, this is live. Right. And then as soon as the classes are over, we upload them as recordings. So as a mom, you could watch, if you wanted to, every single second of your kid's education to see exactly what they're getting. And you can monitor that they're not getting the wrong kinds of things. And if in a math course, for instance, if your kids are struggling, they didn't understand what the teacher was saying, they couldn't quite get it, you can sit down with them at night. You could replay just that part of the math class where they struggled, and then you could help them get beyond it. It's amazing how many aspects of this that would really be helpful for your kids.
That's so true. And let's talk for a moment about the caliber of your teachers. I mean, we're talking about people who are degreed, who are credentialed.
Oh, absolutely. We are a fully credentialed school, which means our kids can routinely, we've never had a kid not allowed into college. We had a kid that got a four-year ride at Baylor a couple of years ago. So it's very, very legitimate stuff. And here's the other thing. All of our teachers are experts in their field. However, we go out of our way to hire teachers without the education degree from the big state colleges. It's education departments that fill their heads full of Marxism and garbage and all the sex stuff. So what we find when we hire teachers, even well-meaning teachers with public school degrees, we have to retrain them, even if they have the right worldview. So we bring in for math and accounting, math and accountants to the degree we have. We have a former NASA scientist teaching physics for our kids. So one of the keys to education and fixing education in this country is allowing people with the right worldview teach. You don't need 2 years of education department university garbage to be able to get in front of kids. And that's one of the things that's killing education. We are a free and independent organization, so we can bring in the best teachers without all of that baggage.
Absolutely. Now let's hit on it. The theme that you hit on there, killing education. You know, we hear about some public schools are losing their funding because they've lost so many students to either private, parochial, or homeschooling. What do you see? Do you see this as a trend that's going to be continuing?
It should be. I mean, obviously, COVID, for a short period of time, COVID artificially inflated that. There were, even at Freedom Project, there were a number of families who got their kids out and into us, not necessarily because they were committed to a homeschool way of educating, but they didn't want their kids wearing masks. They refused to let your kids take the vaccines. So that worked for about a year and a half. And then when it was over, many of those kids went back to the public schools when all those so-called threats seemed to go away. So nevertheless, what you said is exactly true. Between before and after COVID, there has been a huge spike in homeschooling, and that has not gone away. For instance, prior to COVID, there was about 2% of African-American families who homeschooled their kids. Now, the last numbers I saw was 16%. What a huge leap. So it's happening more and more. And homeschooling, and again, think about it. You can homeschool and continue to give your kids other alternative education opportunities. Homeschool can be a complete way you handle things, or we have a lot of moms who are happy to homeschool their kids, but they're tired of teaching math, or they don't quite, when we get into the high school years, they don't think they can teach chemistry. Well, they take a class in chemistry from us. So there are a lot of ways you can homeschool your kids in a very comfortable way. And then there's a lot of help and support out there for people who would like a little help.
There you go. And let's talk for a minute, too, about what you're rescuing your children from when you take them out of these public schools. And actually, some of the private schools are very woke now, too, and even implementing Common Core. So give us a rundown of that. What are you rescuing your child from when you take them out?
Well, first of all, it's even worse than Common Core. We have Catholic schools. Probably 70% of Roman Catholic diocese schools are taking Common Core and sexualizing your children now. What's happening in many of the Protestant schools and certainly the private non-religious schools, they're all adopting the public school model. I mean, ideology, inclusivity, DEI, social emotional learning, radical trans and LGBTQ education. This is happening in many of huge numbers of our Christian schools. So if you're going to go that route, private school, take a very deep dive into what they do before you commit money and your kids to them. I've known moms and dads who have gotten testimonials from pastors and teachers saying, we would never do that. And then after being 3 months in the school, they find Common Core textbooks, they find LGBTQ propaganda. You got to be very careful. So what parents are running away from wisely, and many more of them need to do it, is two things. One, the public schools have abandoned merit-based, achievement-based education. To them, when one kid does better than another, that's now not equity. When some kids get ahead and others don't move quite as fast, then that's no longer equitable. It's not fair. So what they're doing, and this is what Common Core did, they're lowering the standards for education for all kids, especially high-achieving kids. They're no longer allowed to be high-achieving because that, of course, is not equity. We want all of our kids to be common, the same kid, right? So we're really punishing. We're not lifting up low-performing kids. We're punishing high-performing kids. And the second thing that you got to run away from real quick is the radical sexualization and the degree to which teachers, public school teachers, now believe that they know more about your kids and have more of a right to mold your kids politically, socially, emotionally, sexually than you do at home. And so they're cutting you out of the process. They're assuming that they have the rights of parents while keeping parents in the dark, lying to them in many instances, and not letting them participate.
And what are you in your, you mentioned your university teaching. What is your experience? Give us a little bit more. You mentioned about the behavior of children and the appearance of children. Let's talk about the academic excellence of children coming out of private, public, and homeschooling.
Well, now, of course, the only progressive educational value that we care about anymore, it's not education. It's about inclusivity, right? The entire premise of education today, unless every kid gets to do everything all the time, every kid gets a diploma, every kid gets into college, every kid gets a degree, that's the focus of the universities too. So they're bringing to campus more and more kids who shouldn't be there. I estimate about 40-45% of my students every semester, almost half, shouldn't be in college. Either they will not do the work, their attitudes and their upbringing will not let them to commit to that, or they are intellectually incapable of doing even rudimentary college work. And so, but they're almost half the student body. So we can't bring 50% of kids who can't do the work and then fail them out, because then the universities go broke. Then they're laying off faculty, right? So what does the university do? They bring in unqualified kids and then lower the standards to make them seem normal.
So it's more about money than about academic excellence anywhere we look. It's just insane. We're running out of time in this segment, but for this last minute, give us a rundown of how people can get in touch with you, how they can find out more about Freedom Project Academy.
The easiest way is to go to Freedom Project's media site and its online presence, fpeusa.org. That's fpeusa.org. There you can learn all about our school. And in fact, if you're a mom who wants to homeschool, you could even steal our book list for free. So it's there. And we also would urge you to check out our media side. We have a very booming media program with a lot of educational programs as well, and adult programming too that moms and dads would like as well. So fpeusa.org is the way to get all of that.
And that adult programming is just fascinating. It's so much fun. There's such a romance to education, as Robert Welch said. Dr. Pesta, thank you so much for your time, and we will be back after these messages.
Thank you.
As a lumberjack, I've been cutting wood for decades. My job is pretty straightforward. I see the wood, I chop the wood. My axe goes through every time. You remember when everyone bought all the toilet paper? And they wanted me to wear these things? And someone invested a lot of money into this stuff. They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes. We even hear crazy ideas on how kids should learn.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Join us in restoring this great nation.
Hi, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm the host of IMTV's daily talk show about news and events in America. And I want to say a good word for the New American magazine. Not only because Alex Newman has joined us as somebody who is periodically hosting a show, but because New American magazine represents an alternative media that is willing to tell people the truth. With so much fake news spreading about, and the fact that right now this country is in an existential crisis, we remember who we are and where we come from and what our principles are, or we die. Reading New American magazine can keep you up to the minute on the issues that are challenging us as a people and on which that survival hangs. You can check it out and subscribe at www.thenewamerican.com.
Sophia paused before the door. It read, Department of Bi-Digital Convergence. Just inside was a new world, a better world, the one of everlasting life, of no pain, of no loss, of no problem. She entered the chamber and her surroundings changed. She saw around her an infinite field of waving golden grain surmounted by cloudless blue sky. The AI voice whispered gently in her mind, "Welcome to the singularity." She couldn't see it and couldn't feel it. But her body had almost instantly been covered by a swarm of tiny gray multi-legged bots that melted through her clothes and into her skin. Not perceiving the nightmare, her eyes had already been consumed and the rest of her body was dissolving as the bots digested her flesh. She felt only a warmth suffusing her being. Drowsy, she drifted to sleep, and her last thought was one of panic. Would she ever wake? Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame, the new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of the New American magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of the New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code N20, END20.
Welcome back to the New American TV, where we report the truth behind the news. We're all familiar with the Common Core curriculum pushed in public schools and the perversion of our children. But what are parents to do when private schools adopt the same agenda? The New American's Alex Newman sat down with veteran educator Mary Black recently to discuss this phenomenon and what recourse parents have to this dangerous manipulation of their children.
Mary, you were one of the leading voices, one of the early voices exposing Common Core. You've been reviewing some so-called Christian textbooks, and you've been finding alarming things And this looks to me like part of a broader trend where, you know, Catholic schools are becoming woke and joining the Common Core bandwagon and the, you know, the critical race theory stuff. And also Protestant schools. A lot of Protestant schools are now almost indistinguishable from the government schools. Talk about what you have found in your years of researching this. Should parents be doing a little bit more due diligence when they sign their kids up for a Catholic school or a Protestant school?
Absolutely, because most of those schools now, I would use the term most, I think, appropriately, have become involved in a voucher system of some sort. And the problem with the voucher system is not in principle, but in the new law, I guess it's not new, the 2015 Every Student Succeeds Act, that mandates that if a school take voucher students, that they have to submit to the mandates of Every Student Succeeds Act. And that, of course, means Common Core. With Common Core, a subject that we've talked about multiple times, social-emotional learning.
Yeah, let's dig into some of those things. Mary, you were sounding the alarm about Common Core early on. In fact, I did a cover story for The New American back in 2012, I believe it was, about Common Core, and you were one of the many people that I relied on heavily to come up with information. And I think a lot of people are now under this mistaken impression that Common Core is gone because, I mean, hey, all the governors said that we didn't have Common Core and, you know, I'm not hearing about it in the news anymore. So that must not be a problem anymore. Is Common Core still a problem? And what are some of the problems that you see with Common Core?
Yes, Common Core is still a problem. Sadly, I'm a Hoosier, Indiana resident, and it was our governor, Mike Pence, that began the touting and encouraging states just to change the name of their standards so that nobody believed that there was Common Core. It was our state and our governor that led that. And yes, it is still prevalent. It is embedded in the Every Student Succeeds Act that we talked about just a moment ago. It's mandated, it's codified, and all they did was they changed the name of it to College and Career Ready Standards.
That's right. What a bait and switch, right? And Indiana was a really good example. Governor Pence was like, oh, Common Core is gone. And then, of course, we analyzed it, and it was like 90% directly cut and pasted from Common Core.
Exactly. And in Common Core, to go a little further with you, in Common Core, and we saw it very early on, or at least as a teacher, I was able to spot it, is embedded social emotional learning. To be very simple about explaining what social emotional learning is, it replaces academic learning.
Yep.
And it with the group think in, and to be very blunt, indoctrination.
Yep. And it's a very scientific indoctrination, too. They've been studying this for a long time, figuring out how to manipulate children to have the right attitudes and values and beliefs and all the rest of it, huh?
And the definition, if you look on the Casell, C-A-S-E-L, website to find out what social-emotional learning is, one of the things they describe is that they are trying to achieve is adjusting students' attitudes.
Yep. And actually, I spent some time on the Castle website too. And by the way, it's funded by Bill Gates and all the rest of it. And they used to have a history page. And one of the things that I learned on the history page that I did not know was that the idea for SEL first came out of the Fetzer Institute. Now, I had never heard of the Fetzer Institute, but I looked it up. Turns out it's this weird new age occult thing where they're saying prayers that it modeled on Alice Bailey stuff. Alice Bailey was, of course, founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. So it gets dark and it goes deep real quick as you just scratch beneath the surface. Very, very troubling. Mary, how prevalent is this now in Christian schools? Are Christian schools, Catholic schools, Lutheran schools, are they jumping on this SEL bandwagon?
I am so sorry to say, Alex, but I think they have even jumped into the deep water of all of that, more so than maybe even the public schools, if that's possible. A very early experience in our fight against Common Core, we visited a curriculum team in a religious school in Green Bay, and we met with the academic team, people who should have known better. And I pointed out that what they were teaching was wrong for the children to hear, such as children can tell their parents what to do. I'm just kind of in a nutshell giving the story. This was in reading books that the children were to read at second and fifth grade. A second grade story talked about a child who thought he was equal to adults and could beat City Hall.
Huh. Wow.
And I said to this team, how do you coincide this with the Ten Commandments, with what you should be obeying? And one of the people in the meeting said, well, we use that opportunity to say this is wrong and to teach what is right. And I don't know how you feel, Alex. I think I can guess, having known you for a while. But as a parent, as a teacher, I do believe it is against God's law to teach wrong to a children.
Absolutely. In fact, those who corrupt children, Jesus said they'd be better off if a millstone was hung around their neck and they were thrown into the bottom of the sea. So pretty serious.
Exactly. So this is what's going on in our religious schools, and the textbooks that I'm reviewing with the Christian name, if I may kind of connect the dots a little, reflect this humanist secular view. And if I may go a little further, even that truthfully, it's all connected to the United Nations goal to set one world religion with them being in charge.
Yeah. And some of the stuff you sent me, Mary, was very concerning. This was from a supposed Christian textbook, and they had references in there to teaching the kids to be good world citizens, and all these allusions to alleged systemic racism. And this stuff is really troubling. And, you know, so many parents are pulling their kids out of public school, recognizing that stuff is bad. They put them in a Christian school. They think, oh, well, everything's fine now. And of course, these same subversive and evil ideas are even in the Christian schools and the Christian school textbooks. It's so troubling.
This is a two-part interview. We're going to be back after these messages with Alex Newman and Mary Black, so stay tuned.
Imprisonment, forced labor, permanent separation from my family, perhaps death. I knew what could happen to people who were caught trying to defect, but the watchtowers stood yards away. The possibility of a new life in a different world, one without tyranny, was within sight. The West. I thought of the rewards no longer crushed under the boot of communism. I would work and make money, no longer restrained by the chains of collectivism. I would say what I wanted, without fear of spies and informants nearby. I would be free. The frozen rain and Romanian mud seeped through my gloves and cloths. I fantasized about a fire burning in the wood stove of my parents' home, but I pushed those thoughts from my mind, closed my eyes, and waited for the cover of the darkness.
Get Defector,
A True Story of Tyranny, Liberty, and Purpose by Mark Hobovkovich with Paul Dragoo. A thrilling page-turner that will remind you how precious yet vulnerable freedom is. Available at shopjbs.org or Amazon. For a limited time, get 20% off your entire order using promo code DEFECTOR20 when you purchase DEFECTOR at shopjbs.org.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence proclaims God-given rights, and we intend to protect them. Working with people like you for over 50 years, preserving freedom and building a better tomorrow. Safeguarding the Constitution by limiting government power. We are restoring liberties, educating voters, and leading the freedom movement. Join with us. United, we will defend our rights. We are all Americans. We are the John Birch Society.
I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. I mean, whoa. Who knows what would come out of that?
Just imagine if we have a constitutional convention, the number of people who will be unhappy and the number of people who say the results are not valid, and then they'll just ignore the entire Constitution.
What we need are just more people that would read the one we have.
It isn't the Constitution that's the problem. It is the people who ignore the Constitution that usurp power and abuse the constitutional power that they ostensibly have.
If you can't enforce an existing piece of paper, how are you going to enforce a piece of paper that has a little more writing to it? In other words, it's been amended.
It's up to us to hold our elected officials accountable.
What can you do to elect good representatives and senators in your state legislature who understand the Constitution and are willing to take a stand?
All right, parents, listen up. We've all seen the countless examples of how radical leftists have been destroying American schools. It's no longer just about the terrible math and reading levels. Now radical left teachers birthed from liberal universities are forcing gender indoctrination in kindergarten. They're teaching lessons on white guilt.
Freedom Project Academy has perfected live online learning over the course of a decade. I get a ton of great feedback about this program, a ton.
They're built on Judeo-Christian values, a classical curriculum. What does that mean? It means they're taught, your children are taught the way that the founding generations of the country. My own son Noah did Freedom Project Academy for several years when he was younger.
The more we tell our friends about these things, the more people will get on board, and I believe that we can be the catalyst to some real change.
We must save the West. Our way of life and our culture is under attack, and because of patriots like you and your project, I have optimism for the future.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.
Welcome back to the New American TV, where we report the truth behind the news. The other day, Alex Newman, our senior editor, sat down with veteran educator Mary Black, and we're going to jump right back into that most interesting interview.
Mary, let's just go through some of the stuff that's happening today. One of them is basically trying to force teachers into this through licensing requirements. They want to, you know, take certain subjects out of the classroom and move it over to basically out of the classroom. Talk a little bit about what's happening there. We're trying to enforce this stuff in the schools.
Yes. What they're doing now is they're tying teachers being permitted to have licenses and seek employment as teachers to their Marxist, to use the word in the article, activities, being activist and turning the students into little activists. I call this indoctrination. And all of this is done at the neglect of their academics. So to me, this is leading them to have very little judgment, the ability to think for themselves, and to just act and do as they're told with no thought process involved.
Yeah. One of the things that most alarmed me, like in Minnesota, where they've got this new system for licensing teachers. And basically, if you won't affirm all the LGBT stuff, you're not allowed to teach. In other words, you know, Christians who believe the Bible, Christians who believe the teachings of the church that people have believed basically for thousands of years, are no longer eligible to be teachers now in certain states.
Right. And parents and those who are listening should understand that it expressly says that addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, probably even English grammar and how to read will be cut out to make room for this. And that's what has been done through social emotional learning. This is that the Trojan horse of social emotional learning has brought all of this into the classroom. So now they want to take it a step farther.
Yeah.
And so, the other thing that is becoming so apparent is that they are usurping parental authority. We had an example here in Indianapolis in one of our outlying school districts, that the school district would not contact parents in the case of, gender transitions, gender identity crisis, anything. It was all kept at school. And the fear that traditional parents would react unkindly to the student.
So keeping parents in the dark, basically, when their children are coming to school and pretending to be the opposite gender. I mean, this is just totally crazy. And now the fake media seems to be joining in. One of the things that you and I talked about a little bit was this weird op-ed in the New York Times, this mom who I guess had come back from China. And said, I want the government to co-parent with me like they do in China. You think that this generation of parents has been groomed to accept this idea of the government as co-parent?
Yes. And she actually says that she thinks that the Chinese commissars did a better job of being a mother than she did.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe she's an unfit mother, huh?
Maybe. And she said, another quote from her was the tight control of the Communist Party surveillance state resulted in its own kind of freedom. My mind cannot grasp how that would be freedom.
I wonder if she's read George Orwell, right? Freedom is slavery, or slavery. I mean, it's the definition.
Exactly. And then we have salesmen who are selling textbooks. And this is a big issue with me. I think parents do need to get their kids out of school. They do need to homeschool. But the problem is, and as a parent yourself, you may have met this problem, finding books that really don't contain critical race theory. Two examples that I think I pointed out to you were that they're hiding the critical race theory. They're calling it diversity, equity, and inclusion. And there, this one salesman sold this set of books. He got kicked out of teaching. So he went to writing textbooks, and it's full of CRT. But he said, well, I just don't tell them. And two major counties in Georgia, Fulton and Cobb, I believe was the other one, have purchased this curriculum for kindergartners.
Wow, it's insane. So even in the states where this is against the law, they're doing it, huh?
It is against the law. And then this has been going on for a long time. They've wanted to take over the family. In 2016, Health and Human Services put together a letter on family engagement. And to read it is chilling. This is exactly what they wanted. They wanted to become the co-parent, just like in China.
And they say it. And you read this document, they say parents could be equal partners in the raising of their children. I mean, it makes you want to puke. It's disgusting.
Yes. And then the ultimate thing that I see going on in schools, and it's been going on for a long while, even in the Catholic schools where I taught, it's replacing God with the state,
mm-hmm.
which goes all the way back, as you well know, Alex, to the Horace Mann bringing the Prussian style of education back to the United States, where that was the purpose, was to turn their students into little state workers, worker bees, if you will, and have obedience only to the state. And I see that very much going on in our schools today. And the curriculum is designed, you have to be very cautious, curriculum is now designed to do just that. And you may not even recognize it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some very good teachers out there that are teaching it and don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah. So the government schools are working to replace family with government. The government schools are working to replace God with government. And sounds a lot like what Karl Marx envisioned. Mary, we're down to just a couple minutes left. But for the parents out there who are alarmed by this, who want to find some solutions, one of the obvious ones is Freedom Project Academy. You and I have both been involved there from the beginning. And of course, homeschooling. Talk about some of the options that parents have who do not want to participate in this madness.
Okay. I would suggest that they review the curriculum very carefully that they want to use. I would suggest that they go with a particular curriculum as best as possible, because then I think it's easier for a parent who is not an educator necessarily, has never done it. Of course, I will recommend FPA courses. We have licensed teachers, classes at regular time. I've always referred to it as hybrid. We bring the best of brick and mortar classes right into your home, where you can see and hear everything that your child is being exposed to.
Yeah, and that's at FPEUSA.org. That's where people can learn more about the school, huh? And even for people who don't end up deciding to enroll their children in the school, there are so many great resources. You guys published a list of books that have been thoroughly checked to make sure they're not aligned with Common Core, that they're not teaching paganism to the children.
Great point, Alex. Yes. Anybody can go on to our list of curriculum, and please feel free to order it, to check it out. We're glad to offer that to parents.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Please follow us online at thenewamerican.com, where we're covering these and so many other stories. We wish you a good weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday.